of death. However, our question is, how do we live? Well, we have lived in this world for a long time. Leaving is not that simple. It's somehow complicated. Now, of course, I don't want to talk about the psychological aspect of it now. I want to talk about the mechanism of how the soul leaves the body. And since this is the most private experience of everyone, and it's a tunnel to the world of wonders. Now, I want to emphasize on world of wonders. Whether you are a kafir or a mu'min, the world in Barzakh, we're not talking about hereafter yet, is a world of wonders. Everyone just is amazed by the difference that they see compared to this world. And it is the greatest event in every person's life after birth. Or it's even greater than birth, because birth brings us to this world, which is a small world. Death takes us to a world which is much bigger, a huge difference between the two. I gave the example last time that just compare the small place, dark small place when we were in wombs of our mothers to this world. The same comparison could be made between this world and the world of Barzakh when we go there. So huge that this world seems as nothing, so small. And that is why it's the greatest event in everyone's life so far. I say so far because then we go to other wonders which are greater than this. God knows what he wants to do with us. We are created for something very big. It is the most private experience, as I said, of every individual. Person to person is different. And the problem is you never can ask people, how was the experience? Because before you ask them, they have left. They do not experience it before they leave. So, no question. Some people say, for example, we had a dream of someone and we asked them how was death and they explained for us. These are dreams. It's just... And how could they explain? Because that's a totally different sort of experience than what we can experience in this world. So, even if they are able to talk after death, they cannot explain what sort of experience this is going to be. It's not destruction, of course, all of us know. Ripeness of the soul. When soul reaches to a stage, it now has to leave. Just like when the baby reaches a stage, should come out to this world. It's readiness to be picked and initiated into the wonders of the new life. The new life which is very pleasant or very unpleasant. What we see in this world as the physical world is just tip of the iceberg of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This world, human soul, human nature, is multidimensional. Many of these dimensions we do not see. We cannot see because we don't have the appropriate senses to capture them. And therefore, we always, no matter how far our knowledge goes, our science, how deep it delves into the reality of this world, is just capturing one aspect. Many aspects are hidden. And no matter how big a mystic is, or a prophet, beyond mystics, they only grasp a small part of this creation. Until they, of course, move to higher stages. Well, we may say, of course, prophets, imams, they had huge knowledge, huge knowledge. But we know, for example, they said every Friday night, our knowledge increases, for example, as twice or three times of what we had before. That means their knowledge is very small compared to what is out there, that it could increase twice, three times every week. I mean, if you imagine every week this knowledge increases about the reality of the world, then the reality is infinite. The knowledge can increase, but it cannot grasp all of it. What we experience of it is just a small tip of a huge iceberg, as I said. More so is the man. Of course, we know man is a very complicated creature. And therefore, when you want to discuss about the departure of soul from this world to the world of images, as we will discuss, it's very difficult to explain the mechanism. How the soul is connected to the body? How does it leave the body? How does it live there? With what body? This is what we are going to discuss tonight. Of course, there are a chosen few who may be able to traverse some of these layers and dimensions during this life. But this is exception. This is not what we are created for. We are created because creation is for the majority, not for the minority. We will traverse and go through all these layers and dimensions gradually, stage by stage. You remember the verse I discussed at the beginning? يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانُ إِنَّكَ كَادِخٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا فَمُلَاقِهِ. You are laboring towards your Lord, and you will meet Him stage by stage. So do not rush yourself. Inshallah, the time comes when we will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very easy if we follow certain rules. We do not need to rush ourselves into it. But for the bulk of the people, this adventure could only start by death, going into these different dimensions. And death is important, even more important than birth, because birth brings us to this physical realm and death takes us to a higher realm, a realm in which we can see the angels. It's higher because the realm of the angels in the Quran is called heaven, sky, sama. Sama means something which is high. And our realm is called earth, which is down. وهو الذي في السماء إله وفي الأرض إله. He is Allah in heavens, in the earth. كم من ملك في السماء. How many angels in the heavens do such and such. When we move from this life to the next life, we traverse to this سماء, the higher world. We leave this lower world, we go to the higher world. Now, when we go there, inshallah, we'll have dreamlike experiences which are far different from what we now know as existence. We just touch the surface of the existence, just like a huge ball, which we are touching the surface. We don't know what's inside. When we die, we just enter inside the existence and creation. As I said, no matter you are kafir or mu'min or whatever, what religion you have, this is a general experience of every human being. However, it's just like, for example, if a sad person goes to seaside or a happy person goes to seaside, they have different feelings. But the seaside itself is an experience for everyone. Or if a good person has enjoyment of, for example, certain gifts, or if a bad person has the experience of certain gifts, they of course have the experience of the gift, but they have different experiences of it. What layer is the layer which we enter after our demise or passing away, passing through the wall which separates us from that world? We call it because there are many different worlds. We have to actually adventure into these worlds gradually. Immediately after that, what world it is that we enter? It is called intermediary world. It is called world of images, alam ul mithal. It is called the barrier of the world or the world of imagination. Barrier is barzakh and alam ul khiyal. So three names or four names we give this world which we enter after we die. Intermediary world, alamul mithal, world of images, alamul barzakh, world of the barrier, and world of imagination, alamul khiyal. These are the words. Now I say why we call that world by these names. We call it intermediary world because it is an intermediary state between dunya and akhirah. You remember we said by dying we don't get into world of akhirah. It's just another side of this world. Just behind the barrier. Behind the barzakh. So it is the intermediary world because it is a medium stage between dunya and akhirah. It is platform for the final takeoff of the newly completed soul. Because your soul is completed with exceptions. Always, always. You see, the difficult thing about the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that there is always exceptions. Now, some souls are not completed before they go. How Allah deals with them, we'll discuss it later. Children whose souls are not yet complete, who have not found the advantage or opportunity to act, to show their acts. How do they go? What do they do? The soul is not complete, is not prepared. Why they go? It's all difficult questions, and you don't find answers for it. You know why Abul Hasan al-Ash'ari cut himself off from his teacher Abu Ali al-Jubba'i, the head of Mu'tazila, and he became an Ash'ari because of some of these difficult questions. He asked him, Abu Ali al-Jubba'i was head of Mu'tazila, the rational sort of thinkers in the world of Islam, and Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari was the best student. Had he not deviated and shifted to Ash'arism, he would have become the head of Mu'tazila. Now, once he asked his sheikh about three brothers or three people, he said, three people die, or three brothers, differently reported. Three brothers die. One is a mu'min, one is a kafir, one is a child. What is their destiny? Now, I'm talking about this incomplete soul. When they move to barzakh, what happens to them? He said, well, the mu'min is in Jannah. The kafir is in hell. The child is saved. Well, he didn't say he's in Jannah or he's saved. He doesn't go to hell. He said, well, the child may say, God, why don't you put me in Jannah? Of course, we believe that the child will go to Jannah. I'm just reporting. The child would say, God, why didn't you let me grow up and I go to Jannah? Why didn't you let me in Jannah? He said, because you don't have any action. You do not have darajat. This is what he said. The mu'min has darajat. The child is saved, probably in the lowest places in Jannah. And the kafir goes to hell. He says that if the child objects to his destiny. That, God, why didn't you allow me to darajat? He says, because you have no actions. Darajat is obtained by actions. He said, okay, why didn't you give me opportunity to have actions? I didn't have the opportunity. You didn't give it to me. He said, because you were at risk. You may have become a kafir and go to hell. So I've saved you. And then he says, well, this was the answer of Abu Ali al-Jubba'i to Ash'ari, Abu al-Hasan. Ash'ari asked, okay, isn't it possible for the kafir to say, God, why didn't you kill me at childhood so that I don't go to hell? And Abu Ali didn't have any answer. And from this point, Ash'ari broke from Mu'tazilism and created his own school in theology. Is there any answer? Any one of you can answer this question? There is no answer. There is no answer, unless we go there and see. Okay? Well, there might be some. We just say, we do not understand the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows what he is doing. We are just a small, tiny, tiny creatures. Have come to this world, everything is prepared for us, we just enjoy, eat, drink, and go. We cannot, our mind cannot grasp these issues. These are very complicated issues. So what happens to incomplete souls? We'll discuss later why some souls should go incomplete. As I said, there is always exception in Allah's ruling, and this is the beauty of it. It's not a sort of a standard communism system that everything should be standardized. It's a free liberalist system, so to speak. Now, so the world of Barzakh is the start of a new phase from which we can take off to the next stage, which is almost the final stage, and that's the world of Akhirah. Barzakh, why we call it Barzakh? Because between that dimension and the dimension we are living now, there is a thick barrier which cannot be penetrated back after the soul has passed through it with the help of the angel of death. This angel of death is a mercy of God. If you wanted to pass without the help of this angel, it would have been a torturous journey. They help you. They help your soul. They are midwives of Akhirah. They take your soul very comfortably to that world. As we have in Surah Mu'minun, وَمِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ بَرْزَخٌ When they go to that world, then there is a barrier behind them until the day they are resurrected. That's why we call that world the world of Barzakh. You may think, wow, Barzakh, that's a very scary thing. It's not at all for you. For some people, it's very scary. Not at all for you. It's a very wonderful and pleasant world, inshallah. Yeah.
It's a world of Barzakh and isolated.
No, not at all. You will have communities there. You will have many different types of communities. We will discuss that. One very important part of this discussion is the social life in Barzakh. How socially we live together. The social structure. Leaders, politicians, and others. We will have them. Don't worry, you cannot get rid of politicians. But you have good politicians there, evil politicians here. If you go to Jannah of Barzakh, if you go to Hell of Barzakh, oh, those politicians will kill you. World of images. Why is it called world of images? Alamul Mithal. Because whatever is there is like an image without mass, without matter. And without the density of matter, you may equally say that this world is a dense and dusty image of what is there. Now, there you have the same structure, same appearance, same face, same life, homes, probably cars, I don't know. Means of transport, anyhow, there are means of transport there. And gardens, however, the difference with this world and the world of Akhira, this intermediary world, the difference is that there is no matter. It's all like image. It's not image, it's like image. It's like imagination, it's not imagination. It's very real. Why I have said that this world may be called a dense and dusty image of what is there, because this world compared to that is not real. What is there is real. We think if matter is not there, things do not exist. However, we understand how images affect matter. Isn't it? It does affect matter. It's by our images that we make in our mind that we create wars, we destroy things, sometimes we kill ourselves. That's the effect of what is thought to be imaginary. And whatever we do in this world, we first imagine it, and then we do it. So that's a forceful thing. However, this imagination is something very vague, very pale. That is not like this. In this world, imagination comes because of matter. In that world, it comes free of matter, but is not caused by matter. So, world of images, it is called mithal. Alamul mithal. Mithal means image. But not like the image that we see in the mirror, because that image has no power. It's not real. It's just reflection of light. Rather, an image not dependent on mass and matter, and hence more abundant with life and freshness. There is no friction of matter. And therefore, you may see me there just like I am here, with clothing and everything. Just sometimes you dream your relatives with beautiful dresses and something like that. Of course, that's a dream, but you may see me exactly in the same way. But when you come close and experience me, you see I have no matter. It's just what? We don't know what. It's just like an image. Like an image. It's not an image. It's like an image. And that's why it's called Alamul Mithal, or World of Images. So, another name for it. We had one name Barzakh, one name Alamul Mithal. It's called Alamul Khiyal. Now, before that, sorrow, happiness, pain, and pleasure, or any other quality that we experience in this world, are but a faint picture on the dull face of the matter reflected from that world. That is the real pain. That is the real pleasure. It reflects on the face of matter. We think that we have pain and pleasure. It corresponds. Now, this idea of correspondence, we'll talk about it later on. Probably Sarfaraz knows about it, because you haven't read... didn't you read Swedenborg's book? He stresses on this correspondence, a very nice idea, which comes from our traditions as well. There is a correspondence between whatever is there. There is a sun in Barzakh, as there is a sun here, as there is a sun on the Day of Judgment. But we call it sun because it corresponds to what is called sun here. But it's not like this sun. It is something which this sun is called sun because it is an image of that, not image like a picture, no. There is gold there as there is gold here, but there is something that which corresponds to gold. Of course, it's not gold. We call it gold from here. The descriptions which are given to us about barzakh or about hereafter. There are trees, there are rivers. Well, it is true and not true. Not true because those trees and rivers are not like these trees and rivers. True because there is a correspondence between the two. Just like there is a correspondence between your acts and what you see there. There is a correspondence. You see, for example, someone who lies, there is a correspondent image there for this, which is created. Now, therefore, this correspondence becomes weaker and weaker as we come down. In the world of Akhirah, everything is full of life. When it comes to Barzakh, it gets weaker and paler. And when it comes to this world, it gets much, much, much weaker. Therefore, you have a very small dose of pain and pleasure in this world. Do not imagine that pain and pleasure in Barzakh is like this. Not at all. And do not imagine that pain and pleasure in the Day of Judgment is like what you experience in Barzakh. It's very different. Much stronger. Now, that is a world in which the heaviness of the matter does not slow down the life as it does it here. You want to do many things here, but this body does not allow you. It's heavy, it's with friction, it fetters you down. But there is no body. Matter. There is a body, there is no material body. Just like what we see in the dream or imagination, and that is why it is also called Alamul Khiyal as well, world of imagination. However, not because it is not real, but because its existence is more like what we experience in our imagination. Things happen quickly, lightly, easily, just like that. And this is the world that you are going to experience. It is really, really pleasure. It is wonderful. I mean, if just imagine you live in that world. However, it's called Khiyalul Munfasil, the disconnected imagination. This is what some philosophers have called it, Khiyal Munfasil, as opposed to Khiyal Muttasil. The connected imagination is what is in our mind. Disconnected means what is outside, but it is like imagination. Hence, one can imagine how exciting the arrival of the soul to that world. Maybe. It's very exciting. Believe me. If you do not believe me, die soon and you will see. How exciting that is going to be. We cannot wait to see what is there. Sometimes I really feel envy for my deceased relatives. I say, well, they are now one step ahead of me. They are there, they are having those experiences. We are still here until God allows us to pass that barrier, inshallah. So, it is so lush, so astonishing, so glorious, that leaves the soul to marvel for a long time. Now you may say, what about punishment? What about all these things? Okay, they are there as well. But it is the very experience of the world is very wonderful. Pain, of course, will be there, but extraordinary pain. But not for majority, of course, for a minority people, initially for a minority group, there will be utter pain. For majority, at the beginning, it's just marveling and wondering what type of world we have entered. It is an experience like birth of the baby into this world from the dark and tight world of the womb. As I said, the difference, however, is that the baby cannot remember anything from his previous world, while the baby soul, we may call it, because still when we go there, we are baby souls. And I will explain this. Although it's complete, but it's the baby soul. It now has to start to grow. This baby soul is extremely astute and can feel the difference. Remembers very well what was here and what is there, and can compare. And even in paradise, كلما رزقوا منها من ثمرة رزقا قالوا هذا الذي رزقنا من قبل. Whatever fruit are given, they are given there, they say, well, this is what we used to eat before. It's not it, it's similar. وَأُتُوا بِهِ مُتَشَابَهَا. It's corresponding. You can eat quince and apple and oranges in paradise, but it corresponds to what you eat as quince and apple and orange here. It is not the same thing. It corresponds to it. That's why you can make relation and connection between them. By entering into that world, the soul moves one step forward, and its power to comprehend the realities of the existence, which is comprehending God actually, isn't it? The more you have the experience of existence, the more you have the experience of God. So it would increase. Now, إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا. You are laboring towards your Lord. Your Lord, one step. You have taken one big leap towards your Lord. You have taken by death, thanks to the angels of death, which make this easy. Hence, it's now one stage closer to the final destination, meeting with the Lord. However, now, this is what we are going to really discuss tonight. Death happens when the soul leaves the body. Okay? That's clear. The soul is very difficult to define. What is the soul? Nafs. What is the soul? Can this soul live without body? Without a body? In a simple expression, the soul is what we call I. That's the soul. I want, I like, I feel, I intend. This is your soul. Of course, then this soul has many means for intention, for feeling, for liking, for loving, hating, all these things. There are means for it. However, that is your soul, which you call I such and such. The one who wills, who decides, who judges, who loves and hates, this is your soul. But you think that your soul is completely unified with your body. And sometimes you think it's not there, it's just the body. The one who uses the body as a means towards its ends, that's nafs, that's the soul. We usually think that these are the functions of the mind, while the mind is a conglomeration of absolutely separate cells. How these separate cells can come together and decide about something or judge about something, unless if there is a democratic system inside our mind, they vote for it and all these things. Well, we know this is not possible. Separate atoms and molecules and these things. Unless if we say something unique and continuous with identity is born out of these cells, whatever scientifically we call it, we call it in our religious understanding, we call it soul. And of course we have philosophers who say, yes, the soul is actually produced by this sort of order of cells being put together. Mullah Sadra says this, the soul actually is produced by that. The soul is not created before the body. The soul is the product of the body. Very good idea. Why should we think that soul is created before the body? It's product of the body. But it is more than body. It is something which goes beyond its parent, so to speak. Can judge, can decide, can love, can hate. This is the soul. The soul knows this world by the help of body. You cannot have a soul roaming here without body seeing. We usually think that souls have lots of powers. It's not the case. Your soul only has the power as much as your body allows. That's why your soul cannot experience supernatural things, because your body does not allow it. Your senses do not allow it. So the soul experiences the world through your senses. Through your senses. And that's why body is very important. Do not listen to these zuhad and mystics that they say body should be dumped, is not important. Especially Christian zuhad, they used to say these things. Should not be refreshed, should not be washed, and all these things that, especially the monastic teachings were giving. Well, that's not true. Body is very, very important. And the relationship with body and soul is so complicated that we really cannot separate them from each other. With the help of body, we can understand, we can have knowledge. If it was not for the body, the soul would not have known anything. Anything. Look at this verse. وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونُ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. Allah has brought you forth from the wombs of your mothers while you did not know anything. How did you know? He made for you hearing, eyesight, and hearts. It's by that that you see, you hear, you judge. It's by body that the soul gets, is actually provided with raw material for thinking, for loving, for hating, for judging, for deciding. It's by the body. Mutually, if it was not for the soul, the body would not have been able of doing anything. That's why when the soul leaves the body is dead. Cannot do anything. So there is a sort of symbiotic relationship between body and soul. Both of them need each other. Some people say, if the soul is so important, why Allah has created the body and given us so much headache, telling us do not seek your pleasures and these things. Well, this is ignorance. It's ignorance. Of course, these two are parts, components, which make human life meaningful. The question is, what would the soul do after leaving this body? I said, the soul cannot experience anything without body. Maybe. When we come to Day of Judgment and Paradise, we'll discuss a realm in which soul may experience things without body. May experience things without body. At some times and intervals, not always. Not always. I'll discuss about that. That's why they call the Day of Judgment Alamun Nafs. When the nafs, the soul, can experience certain things. And then when you go to Paradise, maybe the nafs can lose self-identification and you can experience God without the limitation of your soul. This is what the mystics call fana and they are after it in this world. Usually it doesn't happen. Anyone claiming that, just reject it. Yes?
Is the soul the nafs? What's the difference?
Yeah, we use soul as the translation for nafs. Okay?
You know, the words before which you mentioned hearts here, does it relate to the physical hearts? Because, or you talk about the physical here, the body.
Physical hearing?
No, the hearts.
Now, the heart is the center for decision making. That is where the soul, actually, this is used, the way it's used in the Quran. Center for understanding. Some people say hearts are used as sort of exchangeable for mind. Because now we as far as we understand, it's the mind which understands and analyzes. But there should be another center which decides apart from. That decision center is called heart in the Quran. You want to continue about soul or nafs?
What's the difference between
ruh
and nafs?
Oh, ruh is different. Maybe we talk about that, okay? Human ruh, we call it just nafs, okay? Because ruh is a creation of which we partake some quantity or something. But it becomes part of our nafs. So we talk about human ruh or soul as nafs. Now, the answer is that it lives in another body. It doesn't live without a body. There's another body. Now, you don't know yourselves. You have two bodies now. You are sitting here, but you have two bodies. Maybe three bodies. Well, don't search for it. You can't see it. It's with you. It's identified with you. You have heard some people, they say that we have come out of our bodies and we have seen ourselves. Of course, lots of these things are claims, but there is reality to this as well. How does the soul go outside the body with another body? And this is how you die, inshallah. Well, of course, inshallah, after 100 years. There is another body by which we can experience that world of wonders. In the same way that the soul needed a physical body to communicate with the physical world, it would need a mithali body or spiritual body, as Swedenborg calls it, to communicate with the mithali world. The soul cannot communicate with those images without a body and senses which can capture those images. Can see, can hear, can feel, judge, decide. This free will is not going to leave you. We wish God hadn't given us free will because it's all trouble for us. But it's not going to leave you, neither in hell nor in paradise. It's going to be with you. And you will feel the pleasure of it, inshallah, when you go to paradise. Here is headache. But you will feel the pleasure of it when you go to paradise, the pleasure of this free will. So it would need the mithali body to communicate with the mithali world. This spiritual body has senses appropriately installed to comprehend the elements of the world of barzakh. And that body is absolutely the same as your physical body. Maybe darker or brighter, more beautiful, more ugly. I mean, it may be, we'll discuss, of course, we'll when we talk about the genetics of your body after you die, well, on the day of resurrection, we'll say that your body is very much like this body, however, with some changes, with some changes. So that mithali body is similar to your body in this world. And when your soul leaves, if you had the capacity and capability to watch both physical world and spiritual world, or world of barzakh, because those who go to world of barzakh, they lose their power to experience this world. Don't think that they can see whatever you do here. They don't. Because they don't have bodies, physical bodies. They don't have senses. They don't have eyes, ears, as you have, physical ones. So they cannot experience this world unless in certain circumstances and exceptional situations. If there was a person who could experience both worlds, he would have seen that when a person has an accident, just like films, you see, the person just stands up and goes, and the body is there. That's the misali body which the soul has. Again, the soul is not that body, just like the soul is not this body. But it is inside that misali body. It lives with that imaginal body, so to speak. Now, that body has senses, like this body. But the senses which can feel things which belong to that realm. Rumi calls these senses red gold compared to the physical senses which he calls copper. It's beautiful line by Rumi, Panj Hissi, for those who know Farsi. Panj Hissi has juz in Panj Hiss. In on cho zarre surho, in hisha cho mes. There are five senses apart from these five senses. Those are like red gold, and these are like copper. So mean, so cheap, these senses by which we experience this world, compared to the senses of the spiritual body, which can experience things in the world of angels or the world of images. A minute minority can use these senses even when they are living in this world. It's possible. How do the prophets see the angel? How? The prophets. It's with that imaginal sense. Sense of the other body. How would some people communicate with souls if they can? Is with the senses of that other body that they can do it. You know, people are different, very different with each other. So some people have the ability, stronger ability to use that body even in this world than others. And that's why they have more connection with the world of Barzakh. They see more dreams which are more true than others. They get connection with that world, they feel it, they sense it, they hear it. Sometimes, yes.
Is there a way of developing?
You don't need to, you will go and see, don't worry. Don't, as I said, don't rush yourself. This is a world that, just enjoy yourself with worship and prayer and ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why do you want to see that world? That world we will see, inshallah. Soon, you get fed up with it. So much you will see. A considerable number of people, however, use these senses unconsciously. It is their way to faith. How some people believe. They don't know, not knowingly these senses are working. They see things and then they believe. Some people don't see it, they don't use that. Well, this is just a theory. The prophets communicated with the angels through these senses. Our prophet, peace be on him, went to Miraj with his spiritual body and saw and heard things by his spiritual senses. He saw angels, he saw people in Barzakh, and all these things. And it was with that spiritual body that he went to Barzakh. This issue of Mi'raj is a very complicated issue for philosophers, exegetes, theologians. How did the Prophet go to Mi'raj? With his body? Or with his imagination? Dream? Was it a dream? If it was not with this body, then some people say, so it was a dream. Not a big deal. But no, he left his physical body in Baytul Maqdis and left with his spiritual body, just like someone who dies, and went to Miraj. In that way he could go anywhere that Allah wanted to take him. Where does this body come from? Is the question. Where does this body come from? You do not see it. It grows with us. It is not suddenly created at the moment of death. It grows with us. In this world, even a baby which is born to this world, it has that misali body with it. That's why when babies die, the soul leave with that mithali body. In fact, we have one aspect of us rooted in the world of images, and that is why we can communicate with that world in our dream, is with that body. So in this world, we live in two bodies. But since one is like an image of the other and completely matched on it, we cannot realize that. They belong to two dimensions of the same existence. As I said, that's not world of Akhirah. That's just another dimension of this world. On the moment of death, the soul discards its physical body and leaves this world with its spiritual body. Wonderful. I mean, Allah has already thought for everything. How you have to leave this world, what senses you should have, what body you should have. So when we talk of death, we actually talk of ourselves in a new body. A body which is much more complicated and much more magnificent than our physical body. Believe me, when inshallah we leave with that body, you just take hours watching yourself. What am I? What is this body? How is it working? It's wonderful. How Allah just give all these to us free? Why does He give all these to us free? I mean, that's a question. But what type of experience is death? This is what we'll discuss, inshallah, next week. It was the mechanism, next week, the type of experience that different people will have. Okay. Sorry, I forgot to press this. Who was this? I wanted to tell you, remind me, but I forgot.
Yeah. Question?
Yes.
If the Holy Prophet went to Miraj in his astral body, spiritual body, from Baitul Muqaddas, why did he need Buraq?
As I said, you will have means of transport in that world. However, the Buraq was needed to take him from Mecca to Baitul Muqaddas. He went with his physical body to Baitul Maqdis or to Quds, isn't it? With his physical body, سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ لَيْلًا مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ الْأَقْصَى. And then from Masjid al-Aqsa, he went to Mi'raj. So the Buraq was needed for this travel.
Commentary question.
Yes?
I think that this is a point where there is a big difference between us and Ahlul Sunnah about whether the Holy Prophet went to Mi'raj with his physical body or with his... They say that he went in a dream or some kind of a spiritual ascension.
Yes. Well, among Shia scholars, there is a dispute about it as well. However, I think the solution for the whole problem, because those who say in dream they have some problem, those who say physical they have some problem. The best solution for it is, I think, what Allama Tabatabai has said, almost the same thing, that it was with the spiritual body. As far as I remember, this is what he says. We are going to discuss in details, full details, inshallah. Don't worry. Yes. Beyond second life.
In the second life.
In the second life.
In everything subjective, for example, you may see someone, I perceive that you were in Asia, but in fact they are something else. Like, are we all seeing the same thing, or are we seeing things that we want to allow to
see? Not totally subjective, of course. The experiences and feelings may be subjective, but you are dealing with real things. They are very real. They are more real than what you have in this world. When we say images, don't think that it's unreal. It's more real. But of course, people have different experiences of the same thing. That's what makes the difference. I mean, for example, all may see some gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but that gift for some is pain, for some is pleasure, depending on their attitude.
Because of the realm, is our account closed at the time of death, or do we have opportunity to rectify our mistakes committed in the dunya in the barzakhi realm?
Yes, we will have inshallah the opportunity, but not with our own doing. It's all the work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He would rectify many things. And not only in barzakh, on the day of judgment, He will rectify many things. That's why both in Barzakh and on the Day of Judgment, there are the majority of people who don't know what is their eventual destination, what is their eventual abode. They don't know, because they don't know whether they will be rectified, they won't be rectified. These are the majority of the people. So there is room for rectification. However, it's not our doing anymore. It's God's doing.
The Quran mentions they actually alive. Does that mean that they have to body just be and they can just
about shuhada?
Shuhada, yeah.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Actually, what Allah is saying is that don't think that those who are killed, they are dead. They are alive. Everyone is alive. However, what is specific to Shuhada is that in the Rabbihim Yurzahun, they are beside their Lords and they are being provided for beside their Lord. That's the most important thing. Otherwise, they are just like other people in Barzakh. There is one body there, and when we go to Day of Judgment, then we may have three bodies. I'll discuss about that later. It's all wonder after wonder, you see? It's all wonder after wonder, inshallah. Yes.
People wake up on the Day of Judgment.
Yeah.
And they say that, oh, we just woke up. So in Barzakh, will they be sleeping, or will all of us be sleeping with someone?
At the end of Barzakh, everyone would go to a deep sleep or unconsciousness, or what is called death. At the end of Barzakh.
So it's
and then everyone will wake up. So that is the waking after that phase, which everything blacks out in the world, which we'll discuss about inshallah. Yes.
In which realm were we in when Allah made a covenant with us? Alastu
Rabbikum qalu. Don't ask me that. I really don't know. I don't want to know. It's so complicated, so complicated. Some people categorically reject that realm, like Sayyid Murtaza, for example. Allah Matabatabai. They say this is the moment when Allah creates the soul in body. He puts His knowledge, the way to His knowledge, in the soul, and that's the covenant. So it's the moment of birth. There is no world before this world. Some, of course, go into details of that world, how it happened, how they shake hands, for example, with each other or with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's a very complicated issue. Maybe inshallah, if in tafsir of Surah Araf we reach the verse, we'll discuss it. It's a very, very vast area. Yes. Anything else? Okay. Inshallah. See you next week.